And we're back. And that was Judy Collins. I believe we are joined by Stephen Gowans. Are you there, Stephen?
I am. Hello, Phil.
How you doing? Stephen, of course, you've written, I want everybody to remember, a book, The Long War on Syria. I don't have it in front of me, but it's... Washington's Long War on Syria.
Yeah.
And I know you've been lecturing about it, and I by the way, I bet you your sales are doing rather good.
Yes, they are.
Because, you know, people write books and then they dust gathers. But you've been going around, and everywhere I've heard about your speaking, there's been very good attendance, and thank heavens people are taking that book home. Now, on July 11, you wrote a piece titled The Myth of the Kurdish YPG's Moral Excellence, and this can be found at gowans.wordpress.com. I was very appreciative of the piece because you go into the question that has been, I don't think, been adequately answered anywhere else that I'm aware of. You go into the matter of the what is the political outlook of this group called the YPG, and I've noticed something, and I'll ask you about address this. The picture of who they are has been changing during this war, the imposed war by outsiders, basically Saudi Arabia, United States, France, others, Canada, of course, bringing up the rear, and. We keep hearing what we call the Kurdish question, and different people have been identified. But recently, there's been a kind of romantic enthusiasm developing, particularly amongst people who pose as leftists, about the YPG. Tell us who they are. What is their ideology?
Yeah. The YPG, I call the PKK, which is somewhat controversial, but the PKK is the...
We love controversy.
...is related to the Kurd Workers' Party, which mm-hmm. is in Turkey. And Turkey has the largest Kurd population. The Kurds are scattered or divided between mainly Turkey, 50% are in Turkey, about 28% of them are in Iran, 20% are in Iraq, and there's a very small proportion of Kurds that live in Syria and parts of northern Syria. And the PKK operates in Syria as the YPG. And the PKK is branded a terrorist organization by the United States, by the European Union, and by Turkey when it operates in Turkey. And its aims are to establish self-rule for Kurds. However, when it operates in Syria, it's known as the Syrian Democratic Force.
And represents the Enlightenment.
Yes, and I can talk a little bit about that later. I mean, Robert Fisk, I think, once said that the Syrian Democratic Force is neither Syrian nor democratic. Uh-huh. But the PKK, and the reason I call the PKK, or the YPG, the PKK, it's kind of the same reason I call al-Nusra al-Qaeda, because al-Nusra is al-Qaeda. It's just, you know, they've adopted a name to kind of disguise who they are. But I say that the PKK and the YPG are the same thing is because they have the same leader, who is Abdullah Öcalan. They have the same top field commander. They have the same goals. They have the same methods. They have the same personnel. So as many as 5,000 Syrian Kurds have died fighting alongside the PKK since the mid-1980s, and nearly all of the YPG's top leaders and battle-hardened fighters are veterans of this decades-long struggle against Turkey. Most of the people in the YPG now have come from Turkey and streamed across the border after the Islamist insurgency began in Syria in 2011. But the ideology of the group is informed by the leader, Abdullah Öcalan, who has kind of led the PKK guerrillas against the Turkish state since 1978, but he has been in prison for some time. He was initially a Marxist-Leninist, but while in prison, he abandoned Marxism-Leninism for the anarchist ideas of the New York-based intellectual Murray Bookchin, who's an anarchist.
Murray Bookchin. He's gone from Marx to Bookchin.
Right.
Bookchin.
And Bookchin's ideas are essentially that democratic decision making needs to be decentralized and inclusive. And while in prison, Öcalan adapted Bookchin's ideas to Kurd nationalism.
By the way, if I could interrupt you, one thing across my mind, pardon me for this, but he still calls it the same name, the PKK, but has changed it from Marx to Bookchin.
Yes.
Well, that's dramatic, but not the name of the party.
Bookchin rejected the idea that his approach was anarchistic. He preferred to call his approach communalism.
Oh, okay. I'll give him that.
And Öcalan has adapted his approach to the Kurd nationalist struggle and has called it democratic confederalism. So the PKK, whether in Turkey or elsewhere, or in Syria, is attempting to establish this kind of self-ruled or a self-rule enclave or an area based on these democratic confederalist ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But it's at its core, it's a nationalist movement in the same way that labor Zionism, which dominated, you know, the Zionist movement until the 1970s, is at its core a nationalist movement, but was based on the same kind of ideas about decentralized communes or the kibbutzim.
Yeah, such people are not interested in borders if they belong to someone else.
Yes. That's true. And so the PKK in Syria, as I said, in 2011, with the reigniting of the Islamist insurgency in Syria, the PKK saw this as an opportunity to seize control of territory in northern Syria, to establish self-rule. And they were kind of helped along by the Syrian government, because the Syrian government almost immediately withdrew its troops from those areas, so created a vacuum which the PKK could exploit. And PKK fighters from Turkey then streamed into northern Syria to hold this territory. And the Syrian government withdrew its troops because it wanted to redirect troops to the defense of Damascus and Aleppo, also probably to punish Turkey, because Turkey was supporting ISIS and the other Islamist insurgents, but also to conciliate the Kurds, to dissuade them from joining the rebels. And the PKK decided it wouldn't join the Islamist rebels, but it did decide that maybe it could do a deal with Washington.
Bingo.
Washington had been talking about, you know, maybe we could partition Syria and adopt a form of decentralization in which different groups each received autonomy within Syria. And they said we could have an area of Syria that was run by the secular government or the current government. We could have an area run by the Islamists, and we could have an area run by the Kurds. Well, that appealed to the PKK. They were very excited about the idea of, you know, dividing Syria into zones. They would hold the northern part of the zone, or the northern part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also understood that the zone would expand to include territory that the Kurds hoped to capture in battle, not only from ISIS, but also from other Arab insurgent groups. So the implication was that the Kurds actually had established three cantons within northern Syria, but those cantons are divided by areas occupied by Arabs, and so that territory would be conquered by the PKK, and it could also extend its territory into other areas which have been traditionally occupied by Arabs and were never occupied by Kurds in the majority.
Yeah, I want to underline that. So they, that's what they are proposing to this new whatever communal idea. But the communal idea doesn't include Arabs. I mean, I've heard of the Arabs trying to return, and they chased them away.
Yeah, there seems
and
to
they
be.
Are. I mean, that. And I'm really glad you raised the specter of the boon, because people have not. I think you cast a lot of light on the ideology behind the boon, which has a rather nice face, but then it has a strong nationalist one. But they actually claiming with this lovely idea of communal existence, but it's their communal existence, not for Arabs.
Yes, and it's hard to say exactly what proportion of Syrians are Kurds, but the estimates are about 2 to 6% of Syrians are Kurds.
Isn't it true that also many of them are refugees originally from Turkey?
Yes, exactly. And many of those who are now in the YPG or the PKK who are in northern Syria have come from Turkey.
And were permitted to come into Syria. It is understood that they needed to be protected.
Yes. And so
this is payback for that. No good deed goes unpunished.
Exactly. And now they control about 20,000 square miles of Syrian territory. So that's roughly 17% of the country, but they represent less than 8% of the population. So how is it that this has happened? I mean, obviously the implication of this is that they're occupying territory that they haven't traditionally occupied. Mm-hmm. Some Arab civilians or some Arab Syrians have been saying that they have been forced out of their homes. They've been displaced in the name of rolling back Islamic State. And I should mention that the deal that the PKK has done with Washington is that the PKK would become the tip of the U.S. spear, as they call it.
They use that expression.
Well, others use the expression, the tip of
the spear. The tip of the spear.
But they essentially made a deal which said, you need boots on the ground. You need a proxy. We'll operate as your proxy in return for recognition and support for a Kurdish-dominated self-rule within northern Syria. In other words, we're going to do a deal with you that resembles the deal the Kurds in Iraq did with Washington to partition
mm-hmm.
Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Which is way
down the road towards accomplishment.
Yes.
And they have taken Iraqi territory. By the way, I mean, just to show the significance, this man, I can never say his three names, but the French philosopher has had a piece in the Globe and Mail saying that the captured territory in northern Iraq in the recent fighting must become part of a new Kurdish state.
Yes. And
last time I saw him, he was in Libya celebrating the victory.
Right. And the Kurds are doing exactly the same in Iraq, which is taking territory that was never Kurdish in the first place. And now
they sound like Americans.
Yes. Well, they now regard in Syria, I mean a province of Syria,
mm-hmm.
as part of Kurdistan, although they've only ever represented a minority in many of these areas. Even some human rights groups have been accusing the PKK of preventing Arabs from returning to liberated areas. So they've been driving them out and then preventing repatriation.
Now, we're speaking Stephen Gowans, The Myth of the Kurdish YPG's Moral Excellence, July 11th, gowans.wordpress.com. Stephen, on your book, Washington's Long War on Syria, underlines something rather important here, and I'm going to make a closing part of our interview with you, but only one element in all the names that have tossed around, Nusra, Al-Qaeda, KPK, these guys, only one offers you a Syria intact with a democratic program and an all-inclusive, non-exclusionary state, and that's the government of Syria, right? Doesn't that make them, by the way, the point of the spear for progress in humanity in Syria?
No, exactly. And I mean, there's so many people who have been looking for some kind of group to support in Syria against the Syrian government. And they've been having difficulty because all of these progressive, you know, liberal, democratic, secular forces that they believed were there are not there. And now it's become obvious that they're not there. So they're looking to the PKK. Maybe that will fill the void. But you think, who are they looking for? They're looking for a force that's non-sectarian, anti-imperialist, socialist, committed to the rights of women and minorities, and they're pro-Palestinian. So who is that? That's the Syria's Ba'ath Arab Socialist Party. But for some reason, that's a group they don't want to support.
You know, no one's so blind as the one who will not see. Stephen Gowans, it's a pleasure talking to you. We're glad you're doing so well with the book, Washington's Long War on Syria. We look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Stephen Gowans, by the way, listening to Stephen, I was reminded of the Ogden Nash poem about the person who wasn't there. He was going down the stair, and he thought someone was there, but he wasn't. And then he says, poem concludes, he wasn't there again today. I wish he'd go away.
Phil, you know that Stephen Gowans points out in his article that when the Americans want to divide Syria, this is really redivide Syria because, of course, the British and the French
had already done it.
They already did it back in 1920, right?
Lebanon, yeah. The port,
Palestine.
They robbed them of the. To be a great nation, you pretty much have to have a port. Beirut is the port, and so the French and the British thought it best not to allow Arabs to have a port. Significant. Ancient civilization. Like with Hong Kong, one day all this will be fixed. I understand in China that you can visit historic sites, and sometimes there's a gap of the artifacts and whatnot, and there's a sign that says, this portion of our historic art was removed by the British imperialist, and one day it will be returned. Which is sums up a lot of Chinese philosophy, which the Nobel Prize winner didn't share. This is the Taylor Report, CIT 89.5 FM. We have, I think, we have a little song that we want to play. It's the Army song, Kurt Vile.